Welcome to today's news headlines from the Scottish Radio News Team. A hill walker has been rescued after falling 100 feet down a gorge in the Glencoe area. Police Scotland called in a team from Glencoe Mountain Rescue after reports of the incident on Friday. A Coast Guard rescue helicopter from Inverness attended the scene, though members of the rescue team used ropes to bring the walker out of the gorge. The person was eventually able to leave the scene on foot. A 23-year-old man's been arrested after a ferry service on Scotland's west coast was evacuated over a bomb threat. Operator Calmac said a passenger was reported overboard on the MV Caledonian Isles for a 4:40 p.m. service carrying 329 people from Brodick on the Isle of Arran. It's understood after being pulled from the sea by the ferry's rescue boat, the man then told the crew there was a bomb on board. All passengers were removed on foot or drossen to the vessel so it could be searched. Police Scotland said it was established that the threats were not credible. The passengers and other waiting people at the port were taken to a nearby supermarket car park by police while a search was carried out. After that was completed, officers allowed everybody back on board to collect their vehicles. Two more sheep have been infected with the blue tongue virus in the south of Scotland, bringing the total number affected to 8. Latest figures released by the UK government showed the two new blue tongue serotype 3, BTB3 infections, were found in sheep on two different farms. Both premises were tested following reports of suspicious clinical signs. This news came after temporary restrictions were introduced on the movement of animals in Dumfries and Galloway to prevent the spread of this potentially deadly virus. And El Nino is developing right now across the Pacific Ocean, thousands of miles away from the UK. Its most profound impacts may well be centred around this area, with the increased risk of flooding and landslides in Peru and Ecuador, and the threat of droughts and wildfires in Australia. However, the disruption caused to global wind patterns means the impacts could ripple right across the globe. The Met Office says the UK weather is likely to be affected, with a growing chance that autumn and early winter will be wet and stormy. No two El Ninos are the same, so while it may increase the chance of certain types of weather occurring, it's not guaranteed. Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney has said a fresh wave of US tariffs on Canada is a miscalculation designed to hurt and divide us after trade talks collapsed late on Friday. They asked too much and offered too little, Carney told Canadians on Saturday morning, adding the country was now in a trade war after being hit with punishing new US duties. That's you caught up for now. More news in an hour.
Mearns FM weather.
A largely dry day with sunny spells and feeling pretty warm. Cloud will increase in the afternoon to bring the odd light shower and a maximum temperature of 19 degrees Celsius.
On DAB, online, on FM 105 to 107 and on your smart speaker, this is Mearns FM.
Welcome to this worship service, provided by Abuthnot Bervie and Kneff Church. If you would like to find out more about us or support us in our ministry, then you can search for us online, on Facebook and on YouTube by searching for ABK Church. We pray that this service will be a blessing to you. Welcome to worship at Bervie. It's good to be here. Good to be back after being away. Before we sing our opening praise, come people of the risen King, let's stand and we'll have this call to worship. So stand, I'll say the words, first couple of lines, and you can say the words in bolds. And there's two slides of this. Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name. For the Lord made us into his treasured possession. The Lord, our Lord, is great. All you peoples, praise the Lord. All you who fear him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord who dwells in glory. Praise the Lord. Let's sing and worship the Lord.
Thank you.
join together in prayer. Lord, we come together as your people, with one heart, with one voice, to praise the name of the living God. God, we come from different backgrounds, different circumstances, different ages, and yet we're united not amongst those things, but around you. Because you're a God who is worthy of our praise. For you are marvellous and you have done marvellous things. Gracious God, we thank you for your immense love which has been poured out upon us, shown to us most clearly in Jesus. That when we had walked far from you, yet you have come close to us. You would have been right to disregard us, to abandon us, but Lord, you are filled with mercy and compassion. And so you say, no, I will go to find them. I will go to rescue them. So, Father, thank you for stretching out your hand. Thank you for throwing at us the life ring, that we might be found in the presence of the living God, not just for a moment, but for all of eternity. Not to have a wagging finger at us, but to be enveloped in everlasting arms of love. Lord, we praise you, we glorify you. And Lord, may we today have our hearts filled with love and awe again of you. May you remind us afresh of what you have done for us in Christ, of how you have made us and knitted us together in our mother's wombs. You have known every breath of ours. You have known every beat of our heart. Every hair on our head is numbered to you. Every moment of our days is cherished by you. And so, Lord, may we be filled with love, filled with awe, filled with wonder of how great and expansive your love for us is this day. May you bless us and encourage us as we gather around your word, as we join together with one heart and one voice to sing of your praise. Bless us from youngest to oldest with the filling of your spirit, and send us out to be your people, we pray. For we ask all of these things in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus, our King, our Lord and Shepherd. And it's in his words that we gather our prayers together, saying, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And before we come to that Bible reading, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
With reverence. Good morning. It's really good to be back here. Our reading this morning is from Luke 14, from verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' Amen."
So throughout the summer, we have been exploring some of the 40 or so parables of Jesus. And we explored some of the parables this week too at the holiday club as well. And as we explained to the kids there, parables are short stories that Jesus tells, but with a hidden meaning underneath it. Some are only a line or two long, some are a little bit longer, but Jesus is always trying to teach us, his friends, his disciples, something more than just simply sharing a little anecdote or a little story. When I was in school and kind of later on years, I really used to despise English lessons when you would read a poem or a short story and a teacher would then ask middle of the way through it, "Now, boys and girls, why do you think the character here is wearing a blue shirt?" And I'd hear some of my classmates say something like, "Oh, I think it's to symbolise the sky, or it's to symbolise the deep blue sea, or perhaps because they're feeling sad and feeling blue." And then I remember the teacher asking me something along those kind of lines, "Why is a character wearing this colour or doing whatever it is?" And I said something along the lines of, "I don't know. Maybe because the writer had space on the page and for no particular reason just said they're wearing a blue shirt." I think English teachers ask these kind of questions just to see what kind of crazy answers 12-year-olds come up with and discuss it in the classroom, in the teacher's room. So unlike my scepticism of English lessons and deeper hidden meanings of stories and parables of poems, the parables of Jesus do have a deeper meanings. And this one, unlike perhaps some of the others, isn't particularly difficult to work out. There's a relatively obvious connection that Jesus makes between what's happening right in front of him at the meal and then the story he tells and the deeper meaning behind the story about God and his expansive grace. Now, Caroline read for us from beginning at verse 12, but the story really begins in verse 1, where Jesus is eating at the house of the upstanding members of the religious community. And he notices in verse 7 of chapter 14 that people were being drawn to sit at the best seats of the table. We're told that some go to run basically into the room and go, "I want the best seat at the table. I want the seat where the best people sit at, the ends of the table." But Jesus invites them to be humble, to take the bottom seat. And the reason he says is because, well, from the bottom seat, the only way is up. how good it is if you sit at the bottom seat and someone says to you, why are you sitting there? You should be higher up. But if you sit at the top table, the only way is down. If you sit at the top table, the top seat at the table, and someone says, wait a minute, why are you there? You're not the head of the household. You're not the person that is with the most prestige here. Go and sit somewhere else. Then the only seat that's left is going to be the bottom seat, and you're going to look for a fool. And Jesus says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So Jesus wants them to think about themselves as guests. But also then he goes on to think, well, who should we have as guests at our dinner table? Or more importantly, who does God want as guests in his kingdom and his everlasting banquet? Jesus goes on to say, invite the poor, the disabled, even though they might not be able to invite you back to their house for a feast. Why? Because God will repay you in heaven. So Jesus begins a parable in verse 16 that we read. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Clearly a rich and influential man plans on having a great banquet, and so he sends out the invite cards to it. It seems like they'd accepted the invite. They'd received the save the date kind of invite letter. But sometime later on, the servant of the man goes out to announce the good news. Come, because now the party is ready, the banquet is about to begin. And of course, in those days, the big events take long time to prepare, to get all the food and everything else. But the party is now ready. The party can begin. In the parable, Jesus is often trying to tell us something about God. So this is a story about God and the fact that he has a heavenly, everlasting banquet, paradise for his people. He's invited his people throughout the centuries, in the days of Abraham, Moses, David, and so on, to find life and blessing and joy in his kingdom. But how are they going to respond? Will they come and accept the invite? And so the servant walks along the road. He goes to the first house. He knocks on the door. But he doesn't have a response of, oh, great, I was just getting my suit or my tie or my dress on. Instead, he begins to hear excuses. He hears three excuses, we're told, and all of them are pretty flimsy excuses. It's reminiscent of the excuses that we might have to miss out or skip when coming to worship or a small group or a prayer meeting or something else to draw closer to God and to others. And here they're making excuses. Excuses not to come to the banquet to which they've been invited. And so first we meet a man who's just bought a field, and he must now at this very instant go and look at a field. Secondly, we meet a man who's bought 10 cows. He wants to see how good they are at working in the farm. Thirdly, a man who was recently married and wants to spend a bit more time with his wife. But think about it, really. The first two are not remotely urgent. The field will still be there tomorrow. The cows will still be there tomorrow. They can go the next day. And the third, well, of course, it's good to spend time with your spouse, particularly if you're relatively recently married. But could you not invite the wife or ask, can my wife come along to the banquet? He didn't bother asking. He just says, nah, I want to go do something else today. In our lives, we often strive to find excuses to step back from what Jesus asks of us. Jesus says, go and do this, and we often say, nah. What excuses are we given to Jesus? Of course, it's the famous story of Jonah in the Bible, who makes a huge effort to not listen to God, and he runs the opposite direction, literally. And we maybe don't literally run the opposite direction, but often we can fill up our time, fill up our diary, fill up our life with other things to stop Jesus coming in. Rather than worshipping wholeheartedly, we can be tempted, what's the minimum I can give him? Perhaps we can ensure, I'll make sure that I go to this group or this appointment every single week on a Tuesday or a Friday or whenever it might be. But something comes along and it says, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and we're like, oh, that's fine, I can come to that, that's no problem. I've only got church on. I'll miss that. But I can't miss my Tuesday day out to the cafe or to the social group. We're happy to let Sunday mornings become swamped, but let other things never be touched in a diary. But I wonder what would happen if we opened up our hearts to Jesus every single day with a prayer along the lines of, Jesus, I want to be used by you today. To love the things that you love, to be your hands and feet, to see your kingdom come in my little ordinary corner of the world, in my household, in my workplace, in my community, on my holidays, wherever I am. Jesus, can I be used by you today? And God wants to use a heart humble like that. But often our hearts are kind of going, God, don't ask me anything big. I might turn up to church and I might put some money in the plate, but don't ask me to do anything big or dangerous or remotely scary. And I have that too. There are things that I often cower at and go, I don't want to do that, God, because it feels scary too. So I'm not saying you all maybe get it wrong and I don't. I, of course, get that wrong too. So it's a message to me as well. Where do I kind of cower away from what Jesus asks of me? Maybe it might be taking a stand at work and saying that should not be the case. In our workplace, we do not treat people like this, or we do not treat our customers like that. It might be not following the crowd. When our friends say something perhaps rude or offensive, racist, whatever it might be, we don't follow along with it, even if it means we're safe in the crowd. Because God asks us to love with our words, love with our actions. How are we living in such a way? Through our words, through our life, and through our actions. Is Jesus the Lord of our whole life, or just Sunday mornings? Would we be bold enough to be willing to be used by God, whatever the cost, and refuse to hear ourselves and our hearts say, I've got an excuse? So Jesus says, bring your whole heart, soul, mind and strength to me. Not because I'm evil and demand much of you like a slave driver, but because in me there is freedom, freedom for you now and forevermore. Don't miss out what Jesus has for you, because Jesus knows you best. And so the account of the great banquet continues. The man goes out and hears a bunch of excuses. He comes back in verse 21 and reports it to his master. Then we're told, then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. You can understand why the master's angry. He's done all this prep work, all of this time, all this effort, all this money's been spent on making the banquet as good as it could be, all to be disregarded. Maybe you've had that experience too. You've organised something, you've put the plans in place, and then just the day before you get a bunch of texts going, oh, I'm sorry, I feel ill, or I'm sorry this has come up, or I'm sorry this has happened, I can't come. And you're left going, I'd planned a day out to the cinema, I'd planned a day out for a meal with all my friends, and then suddenly they've all cancelled on me. But imagine if you just spent thousands of pounds on a great big banquet at your mansion. And so he says, well, rather than just enjoy it with a handful of guests or store the leftovers in the fridge for the next few days, I want people to come and enjoy the party with me. And in fact, I don't care who the guests are now. If the rich and the powerful, those who were originally invited, don't want to come, fine, that's their loss. The biggest party the community has ever seen is still going to go ahead. And if the rich won't come, let's go and find the poor. And so the servant's told, go out and find whoever you can. And when he returns in verse 22, he says, what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room. I've went as far as I can. And the master says in verse 23, well, go out further. Go to the faraway roads. Go to the country lanes. Make them come in so that my house will be full. You see, in Jesus' parable, the dinner table becomes a picture of the banquet, the kingdom of heaven. And the party is filled with outsiders and misfits. It's filled with the weak and the helpless. And Jesus says to conclude, I tell you, not one of those men who were originally invited will get a taste of the banquet. What he's saying is that the kingdom of God is not just for those who think that they are elite or the insiders. No, the kingdom of God is for the humble, those who are lowly. It's those who receive the invitation, they hear the call of God and they say, I'm going to come. Now, you can be rich and powerful and say, God, I'm going to be humble. And I'm going to come just as I am with my helplessness, and I recognize my helplessness. Or I can be poor and lowly and be a misfit or weak in society and stay the same. But doesn't that always say something about the people we should go and tell the good news of Jesus to? Jesus says to go into the streets and the lanes of the cities, the highways and the hedges. And I think Jesus is saying to us, we need to go to where it doesn't feel safe. Because it's easy, I suppose, to go to a Bible study or Sunday morning and talk about Jesus because, well, we all assume that we're kind of on the same boat here. But if you were to go to the middle of, I don't know, some group that you might go to, part of the bowling club or the golf club or something else, and talk about Jesus there, well, not everyone's on the same boat. Now, if you talk about golf at the golf club, they'll love it. If you talk about bowling at the bowling club, they'll love it. But talk about Jesus, well, we're not all on the same boat there. How would it feel to do it there? It doesn't feel safe. To be with people who are not like us, Jesus says, is what I call of you. Go to the people who you wouldn't naturally want to hang out with, or perhaps even want your children to marry. I'm sure all of us have had that experience going, I really hope my son or daughter or my niece or my nephew does not end up with a kid like that. But Jesus says, go and tell them about my love for them as well. Because they also need to hear the good news of God's grace. And in the parable, each and every one gets an invite. Everyone's encouraged, come to the party. The master was determined, every place at my table will be filled. Every seat will be sat upon. Every morsel of food will be enjoyed. Every ear will hear the music that I've put on. The servant is told, go wherever it's necessary, even the unpromising areas, to find enough people to fill every seat. He should implore them, plead with them, beseech them, do whatever he can to get them to recognize the importance, the wonder of coming to the banquet. He's not told, go to those who are like me, or have the same age as you, or the same color of skin as you, or who are respectable in society. He says, no matter the age or the ability or even the sin, welcome them all. Tell them they've got to come in. Let them know of my gracious and generous invitation. And when they ask, do I have to bring a bottle of wine, or do I have to bring a snack, or do I have to bring something like a bunch of flowers, tell them, no, none of that. After all, none of them have. Most of them have nothing to bring. The man's told, go to the poor, go to the lame and blind, those who would have no benefits in no society, but would be homeless and living on the street almost certainly. He wants their presence, not their presence, not their gifts, not what they have to offer him, just come as they are. And that's utterly humbling, because it's not the way that I feel or that you often feel too. People make excuses. Our selfish, proud and hard hearts would want to say, the master to say, well, go and tell the people who do deserve it to come back in. Go to the church and find those who regularly attend, those who give generously. Tell them and them alone that I will send a limousine to collect them. That's what we would want to happen. Because our hearts drawn towards a works-based salvation. We want God to say, good and faithful servant, because we've earned it, because we've got enough brownie points, because we've come to church enough times, because we've lived the right kind of way, because we've got a good CV. But the parable flies in the face of all of that. The parable says that the master, God himself, is saying, I don't care what's in your CV, your earthly CV or your spiritual CV. Rather, the heart of God is set upon the downtrodden, the left behind, the maligned, the disheveled of society. But those who are humble in heart, the tax collector a few weeks ago, who he heard saying, God, I've messed up. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And if you're mega rich today and you say that, Jesus says, come into the party. Accept the invite. And if you're dirt poor today and you say, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, come on, come and enjoy the party. But you could also be super, super rich or super, super poor and say, no, I don't care. I don't want the invite. Or I've got it all sorted by myself. And Jesus says, well, don't bother coming then, because you also don't want to be part of the invite or get the invite. But Jesus has a heart for those the world sadly calls a burden. Those who can't work, adults who have health issues, children, pensioners who might be claiming their pension for many, many years. Jesus says it doesn't matter your economic usefulness, I care about you as a person, as an individual. Whatever society might think about you, whatever economic benefit you might bring to society or not, I care about you. Daryl Bock, a commentator on the book of Luke, writes in one of his commentaries on this passage, "A good litmus test of a community is to see how many activities it engages in that are outwardly directed as opposed to self-serving. A good litmus test is to see how many activities it does for the outward focused opposed as to be self-serving. Now, as a church, I was thinking of this, I think we do some things well like that, but I think there's more room for improvement too. But also I think individually we can think of that too. How much of my life is thinking about others? How much of my life is thinking in a way that Jesus would, with a Jesus-shaped, generous heart and sacrificial mindset? We don't see Jesus going to meals to try and sit at the top table. He goes to serve, he goes to love, and I wonder what we would do in our life. Is our life lived with generosity, or is it thinking, how can I get more for myself? So we can claim to be like God's people, striving to be like Jesus, but Jesus does not care about their ability to pay their way. Why? Because he is the ultimate giver. He is the one who lays on the banquet. He sets a table, and the food comes from his storerooms. And in his grace, he says to me, a sinner, come on, Andrew, come and sit at the table. Come and enjoy all that's on the table. Yes, even the fancy things that are really expensive that you could never afford, you get to sit at the table and enjoy them. And you can come and hear the best musicians, and you can come and enjoy the finest of paintings on my walls, and you can come and enjoy everything I have to give to you. You don't deserve it, but it's yours. And he says that to you and all of us. He says to me, with all of my sin, my incompetence and my failures, come and enjoy. And that invite is for each and every one of us, and it's for everyone of society too. And so that's the invitation. It's a banquet. God himself and you are invited. My prayer, my longing is that our church and every church is increasingly representative of the community it finds itself in. I wonder if you went to a community like the poorest parts of the cities. You went to the rundown housing estate, whether in Aberdeen or Glasgow or Edinburgh or wherever else, and we've all been to those kind of places, and we perhaps quickly drive through them, and we don't want to stop and walk about the streets at night time. But let's say you did go there, and you turned up to church on Sunday morning amongst a community where half of the folk are in benefits. But you turned up to church in the middle of that housing estate, and every single person is wearing a fancy dress that they've probably bought from John Lewis or somewhere even fancier than that to go to a wedding. You would think, what, there's something wrong here, because the community of the church looks nothing like society it finds itself in. Why is there not a single person who's poor in this church? And that should be the case for us. We should look around ourselves this morning and say, where are the folk in Bervey or Arbuthnot, Gurdon and Kinneff who are broken, who should be here? Where are the folk that are out there that should be in here to know and love Jesus too? So will we embody that good news, a message of love, compassion and grace, to invite people not to a church building, but a relationship with our God who says, come, I will bind up your brokenness. Come, because I welcome you to enjoy my everlasting goodness. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you do invite us to your great banquet. We thank you that you invite us into your kingdom. Lord, thank you that you don't invite us based on how good we are or what we've done, but you invite us based simply on your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, might you bless us today, we pray, to go out and to serve you and your kingdom by inviting those into your kingdom too. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise again. We sing, "Come set your rule and reign." Lead us a time of prayer.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your holy name we give praise and glory. Lovely Heavenly Father, Creator of all things, we can do no other than praise and thank you for all your blessings to us, for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for giving us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your great, amazing love for us. Thank you, Father, for the safe return from holiday of Andrew, Kirsty, and the boys. We pray that you've strengthened and encouraged Andrew for the next phase of his journey in leading this congregation. Thank you for your presence with us today, for the teaching, and the spiritual nourishment we have received. Father God, you've called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of your gospel. But then you gave us believers a great commission to share what you have taught us about the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. How can we keep this good news to ourselves? How can we deprive our friends and neighbors of the good news of eternal life? Lord Jesus, forgive us for the times we didn't share our faith, especially from when friends have died and they didn't know you as their Savior. Lord, help us to be overcomers. Give us a holy boldness and help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings and leadings on when and how to speak. Lord, we continue to see and hear of the hunger and thirst and the searches young people are having to find truth and hope for the future. It's difficult for us here to understand how young people say they've never heard the gospel. But Lord, we pray today for those who are searching. You say, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide and open doors and give divine appointments to those who are seeking truth. Lord, in our locality, we thank you for the success of the Children's Holiday Club. Thank you for all the children who came and for the helpers, Lord. May the seeds that were sown come to fruition. And Lord, we pray that you would make fruitful the Friday hot chocolate ministry. Increase their numbers, Lord, and give the youngsters a desire to know more about you. Thank you, Lord, for the small groups in our church who read and study your word. Give them deeper understanding and revelation so that they get to know you better and understand your purposes. Father, we bring before you our new government and prime minister, knowing it is you who appoints leaders. But Lord, so often we wonder why certain men have been appointed. But we are confident that you will use them to fulfill your purposes. Lord, we pray that Prime Minister Burnham will learn to rely on you and that he would ask for your wisdom to enable him to rule this nation. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of health and wellness. Pour out your healing power upon all those amongst us who are sick and those who are in pain. Encourage those who are downhearted and sad. And Lord, would you fill those who are grieving with your everlasting peace. We remember especially Faith as she's discharged from hospital. Lord, be with her and supply all her needs, Lord, in the difficult time after hospitalization. We remember Audrey's daughter as she prepares herself for further surgery. We pray, Lord, for all those caught up in earthquakes, for example, in Venezuela and in Indonesia. Lord, we pray that other nations would step in with food, medicine, shelter, and with long-term support. Lord God, we are your children. And in times of distress, you remind us that you are our strong tower, our fortress, and we can come to you and be safe. So, Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Equip us to be your ambassadors and teach us to serve you right where we are. Bless this church and the people in this community, and may all the work that is done in this place bring praise and glory to your holy name. We ask all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So hold on, my soul, oh my soul, worship is holy.
To love the last, the lost and the least, just like Jesus, as you have been welcomed by him. And may the blessing of Almighty God, from Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
This is Mearns FM.
Jesus is my lead on my journey. Jesus.
Jesus is my lead on my journey. Jesus is my light on my journey. Jesus is my safe on my journey. No one without Jesus Christ.
Who will be?
Who will become the king of us? Who will become the lead of us? Who will become the savior of us? No one without Jesus Christ.
Who will be?
Who will become the king of us? Who will become the lead of us? Who will become the savior of us? No one without Jesus Christ.
Jesus,
Jesus, set on the light of the world. He who follow me will never go astray. When I'm tempted by the devil, God knows that I will take it as a temptation and try not to do it again.
When anyone
is drawn to Christ, he is a new creation. Old is gone, a new has come.
When anyone
is drawn to Christ, he is a new creation. Old is gone, a new has come.
When anyone
is drawn to Christ, he is a new creation. Old is gone, the new has come.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise his name.
Hallelujah, amen.
Praise the Lord,
hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, amen, hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise his name,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
amen,
praise the Lord,
amen,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, amen, hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise
the Lord,
hallelujah,
amen,
praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
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 hallelujah, amen, hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise his name,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
amen,
praise the Lord,
amen,
hallelujah,
amen,
hallelujah,
amen,
hallelujah, amen.
From my
on DAB, online, on FM 105 to 107 and on your smart speaker. This is Mearns FM News.